The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. We welcome also those who are joining us online, and we're delighted that you can be with us as we come together to worship today. In our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about some practical lessons in encouragement and building up people in the life of faith. That's this theme that we're exploring this morning in our service. On your way in, you will hopefully have seen the notices, and I'm going to highlight one or two, and I'm going to mention one or two that weren't on our notice sheet. If you've got an interest in crafting, a new group has begun in the last couple of weeks on Tuesday mornings between 10:30 and 12:30. And if you'd like to come along, if you have any interest in crafting of any sort, you'd be really welcome to that group that meets on a Tuesday morning. As most people will be aware, our toddlers group has resumed on Monday mornings. And on Tuesday evening, for those who are involved in work with children and young people in any of our organizations or our Sunday school or activities, there's some safeguarding trust training at 7:30. Safeguarding trust is our policy for keeping young people safe as we work with them. And if you haven't had that training before, or you'd like to refresh your training, there's the opportunity to do that on Tuesday evening at 7:30 in the church hall. On Wednesday afternoon, our parish bowling group is up and running again. They'd always be delighted to welcome new members. If you haven't had a go before, you'd be sure of a very warm welcome at 2:00 on Wednesday afternoon. And on Wednesday evening, Pilates continues in the church hall, and our sanctuary course on mental health is at 7:45 in the coffee bar. On Thursday evening, our Mothers Union are resuming their in-person meetings at 8:00, and there will be a bring and buy sale, some craft and some supper at 8:00. And again, new ladies are always welcome to the Mothers Union on Thursday evening. In about 3 weeks' time, we're hoping to have our harvest services here on Sunday the 23rd. And in preparation for harvest, we're gathering in some supplies for the Larder Food Bank. They've issued a request to us for various items that they find are in short supply and would be very welcome. So over the next number of weeks, if you can, when you're shopping, and we understand these are not easy times, but if you were able to bring some gifts of tinned meat, biscuits, or rice, those are the items that they're trying to just acquire and accumulate to distribute to folks who are finding things difficult at the present time. So over the next few weeks, we're hoping to be gathering in those gifts in preparation for our harvest service. We're going to join to sing together our opening hymn. It's a hymn of praise and worship. Sing to God new songs of worship.
Thank you. Good morning, and our service this morning is morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together and say our psalm. It is Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, and there we wept, when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth, if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Amen. Please take your seats.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people! How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations! She, who was queen among the provinces, has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are upon her cheeks. Among all her lovers there is none to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed feasts. All her gateways are desolate, her priests groan, her maidens grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters, her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness, they have fled before the pursuer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Our psalm this morning and our first reading were both full of a great deal of sadness, and worship, as in life, is a time when we have to accept that there is sadness in the room and there's joy in the room. And so as we move through our service, let's understand that in the room we're holding both of these things together. And it's a complicated thing to do, but it's something we do with openness and honesty to God. With that in mind, we ask our children to go out for Sunday school, and our next song of worship is Be Bold. Please take your seats.
Our New Testament reading is from the second letter of Paul to Timothy in the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As a church, we give a proportion of our income to mission and outreach projects each year. We have been supporting leprosy mission now for some years, and we're going to watch a video now which will give you a good idea of where our contributions and your contributions have been going in Northern Ireland over the last years.
We are so thankful for you, for the kindness and compassion you show towards those affected by leprosy. Those affected by leprosy are often the lowest of the low in their communities. They are cast aside, abandoned, and forgotten. However, you hold an outstretched hand, lift the lowly, and say, "I am willing to help." You are the hands and feet of Jesus today, and the leprosy mission only exists because of you. Those affected by leprosy are found, cured, and supported through all the stages of their journey because of you. Thank you. The last year was yet another year that brought uncertainty due to COVID-19. Like the year before, this massively impacted teams on the field who continued to work tirelessly. In 2021, there were 140,594 leprosy cases diagnosed, in comparison to 210,000 in pre-COVID years. This doesn't mean there was less leprosy in our world, quite the opposite in fact. COVID continued to interrupt the vital work on the field of finding and diagnosing those affected. Lots of resources were diverted to help government hospitals fight against the virus. And many people also feared coming to hospital due to risk of infection. However, in an emergency cry for help from our hospitals, your kindness enabled this COVID support to happen. Thank you. With so much going on in the past year, those affected by leprosy slipped from the minds of many. But not you. The hope you provided shone through the darkness and uncertainty. And if you don't believe the difference that you made, then let me show the incredible impact you enabled last year. By joining with the kindness of others, you had a global impact. You helped enable over 40,000 training days to leprosy mission staff and other NGOs and government health staff. In Bangladesh alone, you helped provide leprosy training to over 250 government health workers and helped enable tens of thousands to attend community awareness sessions. This is helping leprosy needs integrate into normal services and help break down myths and stigma on a community level. You are a part of building knowledge and expertise to help and leprosy. You help care for and support those who experience life-altering disability by enabling over 600 reconstructive surgeries and providing over 1,200 prosthetic devices. You helped reinstate stolen independence and freedom in places like Anandaban Hospital, Nepal. You helped provide physical healing with over 1,000 surgical interventions. And you also helped heal mental trauma by enabling over 400 counselling sessions, helping ease the load that many leprosy-affected people carry. And in India, at Purulia Hospital, your kindness helped enable over 10,000 leprosy consultations, supporting them in the different stages of their difficult journey. When people struggled financially, you were a part of providing income support to over 21,000 families. In Ethiopia, you provided a place of refuge and security to those seeking treatment during unrest. You helped provide hope and opportunities for future generations by helping support over 2,800 children's education sessions. Like in Nigeria, you supported youth training workshops to spread leprosy awareness and awareness around good hygiene to prevent diseases. You are helping pave a way to a leprosy-free world for future generations. and your support played a part in providing a platform for leprosy-affected people at the UN's major disability rights conference. You helped integrate leprosy into a powerful disability rights sector and allowed the voices of those affected to be heard when too often they are silenced. These global triumphs are only possible because of your compassion and people like you across the world. Thank you. This is only scratching the surface of what you have enabled. It can be easy to get swept away and think these numbers are fantastic, and they are. But they represent individuals, those affected by leprosy who have been shown love, care, and have had their lives transformed thanks to your kindness. People like Maya and her family, that is what this is about. Thank you. Thank you, and I will say it again, thank you. Step back and see the difference that you are making. You are amazing. We are so thankful for your continued support in helping make leprosy a thing of the past. Thank you.
Let's gather these images and thoughts from the readings and the video together in our minds as we stand and declare together that we believe in God, the Father Almighty. Let's stand for the creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, hear the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may both perceive and know what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to fulfill them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Let Every Christian Pray.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of us, regardless of whatever level that we might have reached in our school, in our job, or a career, will have reason to feel grateful to one or more individuals who took an interest in us or gave us opportunities to try new things or to discover how to become better at what we were doing. I know in my own life, I will always be very grateful to my two training rectors. I'll always be very grateful to my community leader when I lived in the L'Arche community in Dublin, who I always felt had an amazing vision for all the members of that community. Her vision, in her own words, was to help me to become the best Jono I could become under God and in the life of community. I think too of my senior colleagues in my teaching days who would give me tips about how best to present certain topics or ideas. Sports people refer to the same sort of thing as they recall certain coaches or older teammates who pass on the wisdom of their experience in the hope that the current generation of players would listen and learn from their mistakes and become better players as a result. And the Apostle Paul was doing just this kind of thing as he wrote to his young friend Timothy, who was about to take on the responsibility of leading the church in Ephesus. Paul was writing from prison, and he knows as he's writing this letter to Timothy that he's near the end of his life. He knows too that Christian leadership isn't the easiest path to have chosen or to find oneself entrusted with. And so he writes these lovely tender words from our New Testament reading today to a young man. And Paul may even have had a hand in bringing this young man, Timothy, to faith in Jesus. The commentators suggest that Paul was rather like a father to him in the spiritual sense. He had shared the gospel and the message of new life in Christ with him, and he had seen Timothy grow and mature in his faith. And it really must have filled his heart with joy to see Timothy going deeper and eventually reaching this point where he's just about to start leading a church himself. So he shares lots of encouragement in this letter with this young man. And he gives some really good advice. And together this morning, for a few minutes, I wanted to look at a few positive things that we might draw from these whenever we try to encourage other people in the life of faith. And here's the first one. It's very basic, but it is beautiful whenever someone says this to you from the heart. And it can make all the difference on those difficult days when life is a real challenge. So Paul says to Timothy in verse 3 of our reading, "I constantly remember you in my prayers." In other words, I'm praying for you, young man. I am constantly lifting you up before the throne of Almighty God.
And I'm asking God every day to give you the wisdom that you need for the situations that you're facing as you take on this task of being the new leader of this church. And what I'm praying for is for God's love to fill you and to radiate from you in all your dealings with people. I'm praying for the sermons that you will preach, that they will connect with people's lives and daily experience. And I'm praying that you will understand more of God yourself, that you'll be able to impart that understanding to other people. I'm praying for you, Timothy, all the time, here in my cell, where the days and nights can be long, but I want you to know that while the nights and days are long in this cell, they're not going to waste, because you are constantly being lifted up in prayer. Isn't that an incredible thing for any young pastor to hear? I hope as a church we could say things like that to Andy in his first years of ordained ministry as he serves among us. What a great encouragement that would be, to be told that people here are lifting you and your family up before God all the time. I know I'm often humbled by people, and not necessarily the people that you might expect, who tell me things like, "You haven't seen me in a while, but I want you to know that I pray for you and for your wife and your family every night before I go to sleep." What a beautiful and encouraging thing for Timothy, this young leader, to hear from someone like Paul, who he respected so much and who'd been such a key figure in his life. I pray for you. I'm constantly remembering you in my prayers. And here's another lovely message to encourage him from Paul in the very next verse of our reading, where Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "I long to see you that I may be filled with joy." So when people are critical of what you're trying to do, when there is opposition as you start off in this new position in your church, and when the things you try don't seem to be working and you seem to be running out of ideas and energy, even though there is a distance between these two men, Paul and Timothy, the younger one, Timothy, hears the older one, Paul, longs to see him because his presence fills him with joy. Paul remembers the excitement that Timothy had in finding faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul remembers the transformation that took place in Timothy's character as he became more Christ-like in his ways. And it kind of reminds Paul in his prison cell of what this whole business of being an apostle is all about. It is about passing on the faith to others. And seeing this happen for Timothy brought him great joy. And he just longs to see him and to tell him just that. What a great encouragement to Timothy to hear words like that in this letter from Paul. And then he goes on to share about how he's reminded of a sincere faith through not just Timothy, but his family. And it's suggested that Paul might have shared the faith with Timothy's grandmother Lois on one of his missionary journeys. And that faith was then passed on to her daughter Eunice, Timothy's mother, And now the faith is alive in Timothy, and he's going on to start leading a church. I know that I'm always touched whenever I see grandparents sharing their faith with their grandchildren, encouraging them to come to church. Whenever you impact one person for Christ, who knows how many generations coming after them will be impacted by what has happened. And so as Paul encourages Timothy, he brings him back to the why of a life of faith. Why should we have faith in this world? And when Paul writes to Timothy, he says, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Don't keep him to yourself. Let others know how he has impacted you, how he has helped you, and how having him in your life makes a real difference. It doesn't have to be really big things. Maybe it starts with small things, even as small as putting your litter in the bin because you remember that this is actually God's world that you live in. And if you remember that, and maybe at another stage in your life you were careless about things like that, maybe now this is a small sign of transformation. Maybe it's in the language that you use. And maybe there was a time in your life where you used lots of bad language. You swore all the time at the smallest of provocation. And now your language has changed because God's Holy Spirit has come to live inside you and to begin to transform you and to make you want to speak words of blessing and love and encouragement rather than words of criticism and hurt and destruction. Maybe it's about looking after those who are struggling or in a worse position than you are. Because as Paul reminds Timothy, the Lord has called you and I to a holy life. He's called us to live in a way that's different to the world around us. He's called us to live our daily lives as if he actually does make a difference to us. And maybe that's about simple things and small things, which are actually really big things. Maybe it's about looking out for our neighbors. Maybe it's about being the peacemaker or the reconciler where there is difficulty or distance between people. Maybe you can be the conduit for starting a healing process. Maybe it's about taking a stand against injustice in our neighborhood, in the church, indeed in the world as a whole. So as we think of this lovely letter from Paul to Timothy, let's pray for people. Let's remind them that they are dear to us and that we long to see them. Let's pray for families and individuals as they seek to pass the faith from generation to generation. And let's respond to his call on our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you today for all those who encouraged us in the life of faith. We pray today for bishops and clergy, for Sunday school teachers. We pray for Christian friends and leaders or teachers. We pray for parents and grandparents, for people that we have never met, but whose writings and teachings and example have inspired us on our journey of faith. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to pass on the faith in our own families to the next generation. Help us to live lives of love and service that speak of your love and that point others to see how important you are in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray for the situation in Ukraine. We pray for restraint in the use of weaponry and in the language that's publicly used by both Ukraine and Russia. We pray that words spoken would be words of reconciliation and healing. And we pray that the international community would create opportunities for this to take place, maybe initially in secret and then more publicly, so that trust might be rebuilt and that war might cease. We pray also for the government here in our own country, for wisdom, courage, and transparency in finding good ways forward in the energy crisis affecting so many people at this time. We also pray this morning for the people of Indonesia at a time of national mourning after so many people lost their lives at a crush at a football match yesterday. We pray for those bereaved and injured and all who try to respond and bring help. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we remember especially all who feel fearful for the future at a time of rising costs. We pray for those whose job security is under threat and for those whose struggles have made them estranged from and hidden from society. So we pray today for those who are homeless, those who are trapped in addiction, and those who are on long waiting lists for hospital appointments or important surgeries or consultations. Lord, in your mercy. And we take a quiet moment now to bring before God's healing presence any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we remember those encouragers and those guides that God has given us over the years, We thank him also for his gift of life and his grace. Let's stand and sing together, Amazing Grace. It has been a pleasure worshiping with you this morning, and it's always lovely to join with you and those who are online in worship. Let's close with a blessing prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be with you now and evermore. As we close our service this morning and get ready for home, let's have these words in our minds as we sing Name of All Majesty.